Hello, I'm Roisin Hasty with the BBC News. Vladimir Putin has apologised to Azerbaijan's president for the crash of an Azerbaijan Airlines plane, describing it as a tragic incident in Russian airspace. He did not accept direct Russian responsibility, but Mr. Putin said there'd be a transparent inquiry involving international experts, including some from Russia. More from Andrei Vladov of BBC Monitoring.
What he appears to be apologising is, and he promised full cooperation in the investigation, is that something happened in airspace that caused the crash of the plane. He didn't mention what, but clearly the Kremlin statement points out that the Russian air defences were working to repel Ukrainian drone attacks. So in a way, it could be seen as an admission that the thing that caused the plane to crash happened in Russian airspace.
On the eve of Georgia's new president being sworn in, thousands of protesters have formed a human chain in the capital, Tbilisi. It's a month since mass daily pro-Europe demonstrations gripped Georgia after the pro-Russian Georgian Dream government said it would delay EU accession talks until 2028. These people are at the protests.
I never seen something like this anywhere in my life. So it seems like all the different generation, people from like all from different background and profession, everybody's together, united, everybody in the streets.
I'm out in the street together with my whole family, trying somehow to tear this small country out of the claws of the Russian Empire. This country has struggled for 30 years to achieve a small progress and join those countries where law prevails and justice is just.
Russia's state energy firm Gazprom has said it will stop supplying Moldova with gas from January the 1st. It claims the country owes hundreds of millions of dollars in unpaid bills. Moldova puts the debt at less than 10 million. The country's pro-Western Prime Minister Doreen Retchin accused Russia of using gas as a political weapon. Donald Trump appears to have sided with his key ally Elon Musk over a controversial work visa for highly skilled immigrants that's divided the Republican Party. The row began after Vivek Ramaswamy, who Mr. Trump has tasked with cutting government spending, argued foreign workers improved the American economy. Here's Rowan Bridge.
In a social media post, Mr. Ramaswamy defended bringing in foreign skilled workers, which is typically done through visas known as H-1B. The use of such visas was backed in an online post by Elon Musk, another high-profile supporter of Mr. Trump. But the policy is exposed to split on the American right. The former Trump ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, said in a post the government should be investing and prioritizing in Americans, not foreign workers. Now Donald Trump has weighed in, telling the New York Post newspaper he's always liked the visas and calling it a great program.
BBC News. Civil society activists in the Sudanese region of Darfur say at least 21 civilians have been killed in a drone strike by the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, or RSF. The Al-Fasha resistance committees that help get relief to victims of the war said a school which is home to a large number of displaced people was hit. Three quarters of all ports in Peru have been closed because of huge waves lashing the coast. The Peruvian Navy says the waves are being generated by persistent winds. Jacob Evans has more details.
Unusually strong waves are battering the coast of Peru, damaging boats and infrastructure and leading some residents to move inland. Authorities have closed more than 90 of Peru's 121 ports until January the 1st. Beaches have also been closed and boats prevented from heading out to sea. The Navy says abnormally strong winds far out in the Pacific Ocean are causing the freakish waves, some of which are three times bigger than normal and up to 4 metres high. No casualties have been recorded so far.
Syria's new intelligence chief has said the previous security institutions will be dissolved and restructured. Anas Khatab said they were used for corruption and torture over five decades, and their replacements would respect the Syrian population. The health ministry in Gaza says dozens of medical staff were among 240 people held by Israel when it raided the last major hospital in the north of the territory. According to the Israeli military, all those detained at the Kamal Adwan Hospital were suspected of terrorist activity, including the director. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is to undergo prostate removal surgery. His office said the 75-year-old had suffered a urinary tract infection as a result of what it described as benign prostate enlargement. The operation will take place on Sunday. That's the latest BBC News.